Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back to Sports Daily. Happy Tuesday morning, everybody. Thanks for listening. Appreciate you. Time to go to the Twin Peaks Scenic Views hotline for the first time today. And we're talking Royals trade in that first segment. We'll get into it in more depth here with Jeffrey Flanagan from MLB.com. Jeffrey, welcome back to the program. And for one night in mid-July, this is probably how the Royals fans envisioned it looking. Nicky Lopez, Hunter Dozier, Alex Gordon, Whit Merrifield, and Jacob Junis, all part of a victory over the White Sox. And certainly for the Royals, a pretty clean game last night.
Oh, did they win? Because
yeah, they
did.
All I
was doing was writing the trade story.
Yeah, they won 5-2, Jeffrey. Yeah, they won.
Yeah. It was such a bizarre, crazy night. We started getting, you know, whispers of a trade happening about the sixth or seventh inning. And so, you know, the game pretty much became secondary news. But it really was a well-pitched game by Jake Junis. That's his second straight really strong outing. When we were in Washington, D.C. right before the break, he finished up a seven-inning game and really – dominated the Nationals that game and came back in another strong outing last night. So very, very encouraging. And Nicky Lopez with a really, I thought that was the key hit of the game. The White Sox were, you know, within 2-1 and there's two outs and he just poked a single in the hole, in the sixth hole and got them back to a 2-run cushion. So real nice win. They're playing some pretty good baseball coming out of the break.
Jeffrey, we're starting to get at least a little bit of a template for what Dayton Moore has in mind here previous to the trade deadline. Give us a pulse check of how you see this playing out and continuing to play out. It looks like we're going to get, you know, a pretty solid reshuffling. Is that fair to say?
Well, absolutely. When they sign these guys to one-year deals, you knew if they weren't, you know, competitive in July that you're going to try to unload all the expiring contracts. And he's got two of them done already in back-to-back days. So they still got some work to do. You still have Jake Diekman, who I think will have the most return of actually all of them. There's been a lot of scouts looking at him in the last couple of days. You also have Billy Hamilton. You know, he translates into a guy who could probably help a contender off the bench. I don't think he's necessarily an everyday player anymore, but he's got that speed that he could be a pinch runner late. Certainly, he's an elite defender, so he could be a defender, you know, late in the game for a contender. So you got that, you know, and then further on down the road, Willie Peralta. I don't think you get much back for that, and certainly not for Lucas Duda. But I think they're just like, you know, you got about 2 weeks left before the deadline. And there's only one deadline this year, as you guys know. So it's going to really be an active couple weeks all around baseball, and the Royals have sort of kicked it off.
Jeffrey Flanagan, MLB.com, a Royals insider, joining us here on Sports Daily. Royals and White Sox will continue their series tonight right here on KFH. I want to talk about Diekman just a little bit more. Bruce and I were talking about it in the first segment, and I had a question, and I'm not sure the answer to it. Teams, contenders know that Diekman is the Royals' probably most valuable piece this side of Whit Merrifield, regardless of whatever you think about how shoppable he is. But
he's not.
Okay. So
good.
Do the Royals draw a line in the sand when it comes to an offer for Jake Diekman? Because they have maybe these contenders, not necessarily over a barrel, but they hold the card here that these other teams want. At what point do you say, no, that offer is not good enough for Jake Diekman? Do you make that declaration?
I think that's happening right now. I mean, because, look, there were six scouts from the Phillies to the Braves to the Dodgers at the game last night, and they weren't there to see Billy Hamilton or Lucas Duda. They were there to see Jake Diekman because – and he came out and he put on a show. I mean, some of those fastballs, 96, 97, 98 from the left side, you know, wipeout slider. His numbers don't look very encouraging, but scouts will look past that because, you know, some of that's a result of some broken bat bloopers and some seeing eye grounders and maybe a couple of missed calls at the plate, stuff like that. But he's got dominant stuff. He can make hitters look silly, and that's he's gonna help a contender somewhere. I don't know if he's necessarily a late inning guy for a really good team, but he's certainly a guy that could be in the seventh inning and a situational guy. And as more teams express interest, I think Dayton and his staff will be patient in the offer they take. So that one might go down. You know, he might have a great offer right now and then make a deal 5 hours from now. But I suspect that deal will take a while because they're going to weigh all the offers they get and maybe pull the trigger in the last week before the deadline.
What is reasonable to assume for a guy like Jake Diekman, do you think, Jeffrey?
Well, I mean, he doesn't have much left on his contract. It was a pretty club-friendly deal. He, you know, wasn't very good down the stretch last year with Arizona. So I think it was 2.25 or 2.75, something like that. So there's less than half of that left. And for a contender like L.A., that's, you know, that's tip money. so that will help in terms of getting, you know, at least a mid-level prospect or two back. I think at this point, you know, you got – Mike Montgomery last night for Maldonado, who's a guy they still have 2 years of club control over after this year, obviously major league ready. I think for a guy like Diekman, they're probably going to look toward more a prospect that they can restock their farm system with, which is already being restocked. But I think that's the return for him. Maybe one mid-level prospect and then one flyer, somebody down in the rookie league that, you know, maybe they had their eyes on a long time ago. And That's what I expect the return might be.
Jeffrey Flanagan talking Royals, MLB.com, joining us on the Twin Peaks Scenic Views Hotline. Homer Bailey for Kevin Merrill. He gets plopped down at AA Northwest Arkansas. Don't need to put him on the 40-man yet. But he is pretty much smack right in the middle of the prospects in the Royals chain as far as rankings are concerned.
Yeah.
Why?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
How come? What's his deal? What's he brought?
Well, you know, he was a first round pick by the A's, a comp pick, but a lot of ability there. He's a kind of a prototypical Royals type of prospect. Very athletic, very speedy, can play strong up the middle. I wouldn't be surprised somewhere down the line if he turns into kind of a super utility guy where he plays a lot of different positions. He's got that kind of athleticism. He's, you know, the numbers don't necessarily grab you, but he's only had one full season as a pro so far. And he's playing in the Texas League right now, which is not necessarily a hitter's league. So those numbers are going to be a little deflated. We'll see what happens when he gets promoted to AAA, which is more of a hitter's league and hitter friendly. But I think that was, you know, that was a nice return for a guy that, you know, Homer Bailey, when he was signed as a non-roster invite back in January, you know, everybody was kind of laughing at that. Like, well, what are the Royals doing with a guy that hasn't had an ERA under six since 2014? What is he doing for a rebuilding team? Well, this is why. You know, they thought they could – it'd be a nice reclamation project if he had a good first half. They could turn him around and get a prospect for him. And they turn around and get up the A's 2017 first-round draft pick. So – and the A's are usually pretty good drafting. So, I mean, a lot of teams saw ability in Kevin Merrill. And the way I look at it, too, is, you know, they paid Homer Bailey the MLB minimum. So, basically, they paid $250,000 to acquire the A's first-round pick in 2017. Mm-hmm. To me, that's a pretty good bargain.
Yeah, and if, you know, if he can be a poor man's Ben Zobrist, then, you know, I'll take him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, why not, right? Depth in the farm system. How do you view it right now with a broad view of things, Jeffrey? Is it? I know that they're restocking. They're in a restocking mode right now. Are they developing some depth right now, do you think, in your mind?
Absolutely. I mean, I think since I've been covering the team, which goes back to the beginning of time, basically, isn't that all? But they this is the best depth of pitching I've seen, you know, maybe ever. And you don't know till you get these guys get through the system and come up here to see how good they are. But Brady Singer, Jackson Kolar, Chris Bubich, those are really top-line guys. And lost in the shuffle of the trade last night was Jonathan Bolin throwing a nine-inning no-hitter at Wilmington. He was a 2018 second-round pick out of Memphis, and he came within one batter of a perfect game, and that was an error. So that tells you the type of depth they have, at least with the pitching. And I think eventually that, they've still got that special class that was at Lexington last year that won the championship and moved up to Wilmington, and they're taking their lumps now. I'm talking about Sully Matias and MJ Melendez and Nick Prado and those guys, and that'll be the next wave of position players. And you got Cahill Lee at Double A, but you've got enough guys right now at the big league level with, like you mentioned to open the show, the Hunter Dozers, the Mondesis, the Nicky Lopez, Salvador Perez is going to be coming back. Ryan O'Hearn, I think they still believe that he can be a factor at first base. And Whit Merrifield, of course, so Brett Phillips down in AAA, that they've got the nucleus to, have a pretty good team in a couple of years. And once that other wave gets here, I think it's going to be kind of fun.
Talking to Royals with Jeffrey Flanagan from MLB.com, when Salvador Perez got injured, apparently the Royals organization didn't think it was prudent to give Cam Gallagher 110 games, so they went out and signed Martin Maldonado. But now that he's been traded, it's Cam's time now, isn't it, for the next couple of months? And who will the backup catcher be now?
Well, I don't know if it'd necessarily be Cam's time. They're very high on Mavis Valoria, who will be called up today from Double A. They pulled him out of his game last night, and he's the guy that we saw late last year in September, and very good receiver of the ball back behind the plate. Has got a little pop from the left side offensively, more so than Cam. I think he'll probably get the majority of the playing time just because they want to see his development. I think they view Cam in the long term, and this is not a knock on Cam, but I think they view him more of as a kind of a Drew Butera, kind of a very steady, reliable backup guy. I don't think they view him as a frontline starter. So when Valoria gets here, which should be sometime this afternoon, I would expect him to be playing four or five times a week at least.
Wow,
and they just got to see what they got there.
Basically, what we're looking at here for the second half is pieces of the puzzle that head to surprise in February, right? I mean, how many players can they accumulate? How many prospects? How many guys can they go to camp with next year to kind of move this thing forward? It seems like that's really the only thing that we're paying much attention to coming up in the second half.
Yeah, I think we've been seeing that. I think, they wanted to see if Hunter Dozier could take the next step. They wanted to see if Mondesi, what he would be like with a full season. They wanted to see the same thing with Soler, who's never really had a full season. They certainly wanted to see Nicky Lopez and his development. And, pitching side, too, they wanted to see if Brad Keller could bounce back, and he has lately, and Jake Junis, who now has two straight really good starts for him. I think what they're going to be looking for, too, is you're going to see Josh DeMont and Kyle Zimmer and those guys get up here, at some point in the second half and see if they're part of the puzzle going forward. And there'll be other guys, too, like I mentioned, Brett Phillips and maybe even Bonifacio. It's all about finding out who fits into the picture going forward. But I do think, remember last year at this time when they got rid of a lot of guys with expiring contracts and they brought up a young guys like Dozier and Mondi and O'Hearn, they started playing with a lot more energy, and they actually were pretty fun to watch the last couple of months. They were very competitive, and I think you're going to see that again. There won't be as many guys in the clubhouse kind of looking over their shoulder, wondering where they're going to get traded. It's just more of a, okay, we're all in this together. Let's go. And I think you're going to see that in August, September.
A couple of quick ones before we let you go, Jeffrey. Appreciate your time, of course. The White Sox are in a weird place right now, aren't they? Because they're probably neither buyers nor sellers. They're just standing pat.
Yeah, I was talking to Scott Merkin, their beat writer for MLB.com. And they've come out of the break and they're 0-4. I think they had hopes before that of making a run at the wild card, and I don't know where they are right now. They don't have that many pieces, really, that they could sell. Colomé would be one. I think he would get a return. But I'm not sure who else on that team. Oh, obviously, well, John Jay, of course, who the Royals traded last June. He's become the king of the rental player. He had four hits last night, too, I guess. So, yeah, he'll definitely be a guy they'll try to probably move if in the next week or two they don't rebound and, you know, make a surge. So, yeah, they're kind of one of those teams that's in limbo. You know, I think the Pirates are there, the Rangers and those type of teams.
We have a Hunter Dozier watch here on the show. He's my guy. I'm convinced that he's the real deal, and he's making me.
He's a stud, isn't he? I mean, he
is.
I like him.
But
he's got so much better defensively that's been the key for him. I think, you know, he's shown throughout his minor league career he can hit, but he was they weren't really sure whether he could be a solid defender at this level, and he sure has taken some strides forward that way.
One other guy that I get a kick out of is Chesler Cuthbert. Look at him go, right?
Yeah, you know, he was kind of – obviously they DFA'd him last fall. They just kind of gave up on him, and he decided to sign back and give it another try. And he's kind of – yeah, just kind of a sneaky little guy there. You know, he had that really nice breakout year when Moose got hurt in 2016. Then kind of vanished again, got hurt, and you know he's come through with some big hits. It's just where do you play him? You know, Dozier's going to be your third baseman. I don't think he's a terrific defender at first base, and he kind of missed a couple balls last night again. And I don't know, maybe he's a trade piece too. Who knows? Because I think eventually it's going to be O'Hearn at first base, and then, you know, whenever Nick Prado gets here.
If we believe that Lopez, Mondesi, Perez, Dozier, O'Hearn are kind of your core moving forward, and there's and Keller, obviously, maybe Junis, I mean, it depends on how you view the pitching, but from a lineup standpoint, Shane and I were kind of, we were bantying around Jorge Soler yesterday.
Yeah.
Where are we with him? Where is the franchise with him right now? Because I don't know, is there a solid take on this guy yet?
That's a great question, and that's one they talk about all the time because, you know, you see the tremendous power that he has. You know, 25 home runs. He's probably going to break, if he stays healthy, he's almost certainly going to break Moose's franchise record. But he's pretty brutal in the outfield. And that just doesn't play at Kauffman Stadium.
Yeah.
And that's an issue. I think they thought he would develop faster defensively than he has. So is he just a DH type? He's a good athlete. And you guys can see he can run when he decides to run. He can run. I don't know. I mean, they've got club control over him for – he can actually opt out for arbitration this year, which he certainly will. And so they got one more year of arbitration after that. So he could be a trade piece. I don't think it'll happen this soon. I think they just want to see what they got for a full season with them. You know, let him break the record or whatever and see if he can develop defensively at some point, next spring, spring training. And, he doesn't really fit the prototype of a Royals outfielder, but you know, when you got all that power, it's kind of hard to ignore.
Yeah, he hits the ball a mile when he connects. Jeffrey, thanks so much. We'll be watching, we'll be reading. Appreciate you.
Okay,
thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Jeffrey Flanagan, Royals.com or MLB.com. Royals won 3 out of 4. White Sox series continues tonight. Speaking of tonight, hey, if you can go out to the Eck tonight, I got Sunflower Collegiate League tickets for you. I got a family 4-pack. If you can go tonight, call us, 869-1240, and come by and pick them up. Freebies if you can do it today and go to the game tonight. Twitter question coming up.
Bruce Hurdle. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.